Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. We're in our 10th year, 10 and a half years. Unbelievable. I can't believe it myself, but hopefully we'll be here until Jesus comes or I leave the earth one way or another. But there's always something to say because every day there's some kind of news story coming out or some false prophet is doing something outrageous. So there's always something to report. And as long as we have news, and we of course we have the good news, so we have that, we'll be here. But anyway, don't forget we have a YouTube channel. It's Susan Puzio. And we have a website, propheticnews.com, and a book called Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. Yes, they put you in a stupor, that's for sure, because you see these poor little lost sheep running up to give their money to these people. And it's always a Ponzi scheme, though. And it was like Jackie Elnor was saying last week about the Amway. The people on the top get rich because they get all the money from the people on the bottom that pay to join the organization, because there's always a sign-up fee. So the more people you get to sign up, the more money you make as you climb up the pyramid. So who's usually on the top of the pyramid with the tithing and the seed sowing? It's usually the pastor of the church. He's living large. And the rest of the people, there might be a few people in the congregation that don't have debts, but there's usually very few. And even though they've been tithing and seed sowing for years, they just can't seem to get out of the mess without really. But it's the pastor's fault, and it's the people, also the people in the congregation, it's their fault too, because they can't learn how to live on a budget and work a steady job or try to get a better education to get a better job. Some people go through financial problems. Those things happen where you have financial difficulties. And of course, we want to pray. We want to ask God to help us get out of those situations. But just because you give money to the church or some evangelist, that doesn't mean you're going to get out of your problem. So we just have to use good old common sense. Amen. But anyway, those things are out there for you. We're also heard on the Rapture Ready Radio Network, and that is the network of our sister Jackie Elnor. So they have a different radio broadcast every day there, so you can catch some of the other people that broadcast on her network. And don't forget that we did a program last week about John Hagee, and it was so interesting because I didn't know some of the things that Jackie made this video, and she put it on YouTube. So you can go to her channel, Jackie Elnor, on YouTube, and you'll see this John Hagee video. And she has video clips that you'll see from his church, which has been, it's really a corporation that's run by the Hagee family. And they live large. They live very large because he's got a jet. Supposedly, he has a $20 million jet. That's living very large. Most of us will never see $1 million, never mind $20 million. But anyway, they have many, many real estate holdings and cars and all kinds of things that they get from collecting tithes and offerings. So it's very, very lucrative. It's a a lucrative position to be in. But of course, a real church with a real pastor, a real true shepherd, it's okay. Take up an offering and tell the people that you're taking up the offering to pay the bills and you're not giving it to God because God doesn't need any money. You tell them, now you're giving it to me. And it goes toward the operation of the church. So what usually in most of these churches, the operation of the church includes a very large salary for the pastor. Some of these pastors pay themselves $1 million a year. Who gets paid that kind of money? And they don't really do much pastoring. They give up doing the weddings and the funerals and the hospital visits. They have people doing all that for them, the bigger they get. So usually it's a message on Sunday, and maybe they have a midweek service. So, oh, it's a very, very difficult job. But anyway, so you tell the people we're taking up the offering and we're using it for salaries, we're using it for, and not $1 million salaries, not hundreds of thousands of dollars in salaries, a reasonable salary for the pastor and if there's a staff, and we need it for the building fund. But don't go millions of dollars into debt. Most of these guys, they fake it till they make it, and then they wind up going bankrupt because they can't afford these mortgages that they're mortgaged to the hilt. But they have to have all these buildings, and they have the bigger, they have to have all these big buildings. And so they go deep into debt, and then they have to manipulate people to get the money to pay for all their building programs. And so it's just not worth it. Who would want that kind of a headache? Just imagine if you had to have, some of these people have budgets where it's $80,000, $100,000 a month. And who would want all that stress? Trying to meet those payments just because you have to do bigger and better. And there's so many pastors that are having nervous breakdowns and they're committing suicide because they just can't do it. You just have to be yourself and be honest with the people. And we can really have a reformation in the church if the leadership would just be honest with people. Instead of getting people all hyped up that they're going to get this from God and they're going to get that from God if they just give this amount of money and they sacrifice this you're just leading people astray, and sometimes you're giving them false hope that they're never going to get the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. And so you've got them believing that they're going to get all this wealth, and it's somehow going to come pouring out of the sky. And that's not usually how it happens. I'm not saying somebody can't bless you with a financial gift, or somebody could be good to you during your life. Sure, those things can happen. You can get a miracle, but most people just have to live day to day and work, pay their bills, do the best that they can. So, but you're not going to get all this wealth that's just going to be laid on you supernaturally because you give money to your church, or you do Jericho marches, or you put your fists up in the air and you scream at the devil and whatever, and you're breaking the curse of poverty. You're already redeemed from the curse, so you can't curse what God has blessed. They can't break the curse of poverty off of you because you're redeemed from the curse. So you don't have generational curses from your aunt and your grandma and all that. No. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a whole nation of curses. That's just another excuse to blame the devil, usually to blame the devil for people's bad behavior. They want to tell you that everything's the devil. Well, sometimes it is, but most of the time it's just you or me. It's just us. That's what it really is. But anyway, today we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, because I can't get over this lady Paula White. Let me tell you, it's getting more and more dangerous by the day, because the more power that this woman gets, the more emboldened she gets to start saying the most outlandish things. And so when people start saying that they're seeing God and they're having these visions of God and God's taking them up to heaven and God's telling them things, and of course they have to tell you this because it makes them look more important, or they think so, in your eyes. And so but it's a very, very dangerous thing when you start believing these kind of things, and then you start believing in your own importance. This lady is so puffed up with pride and with her own self-importance, with the fact that she's counseling the President of the United States, which that one I can't believe. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I'm baffled by the whole thing. That's, how does this kind of a thing happen? Except we're in the end times, for sure. We're in the end times, and it's a foretaste of things to come. But they had a prayer meeting a few weeks ago for evangelical women. So, of course, I guess Paula White puts these gigs together, and she invites people to come to Washington, and then they have these meetings, and then most of the time President Trump shows up. And so it's a big deal for the people invited, of course, if you're going to meet the president. The average person would be excited to do that. So Paula knows that, of course, as she gets these people to come. And they come, and then they're praying. And so, of course, Donald Trump does show up. And then the women all gather around him, and they're praying for him, which, that's terrific. We should be praying for him. So, but then after he leaves the room, Paula stands up, and then of course she has to glorify herself and insert herself into the thing. And she tells the people, well, you know, we were in the White House one day, and we were in one of the rooms, and we were praying for 6 hours, and he kept coming in and out for about 4 hours. He would come in and he would say, what is God saying? Imagine asking Paula White, you're the President of the United States, the President of the United States of America, and you're asking Paula White what God is saying. I don't know if you can imagine. It's hard to imagine that, right? Am I dreaming? Wait, wake me up. Put some cold water on me, because I can't believe it. I can't. How do you ask somebody that doesn't know God? Number one, Paula White does not know God. No, Paula White doesn't know God. No, no. You can't know God and then lie about Jesus. I don't care how many tears you shed, how much screaming you do about how much you love the Lord. No, you don't love the Lord and you don't know the Lord when you lie about him and you tell people that you have to give Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for us, the one that rose from the dead, the one that's sitting at the right hand of the Father, the one that spoke everything into existence. you tell people that you have to give him money to do things for you, and then you're going to say that you're a Christian, and then you're going to say that you are the spiritual advisor to a president of the United States of America. No, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. But in the past, of course, and with other presidents, there was famous astrologers and psychics that used to visit the White House, and they would have seances. Supposedly, they would have these seances when Abraham Lincoln was president. And when Ronald Reagan was president, that was another one that would say that he was a Christian. And then his wife Nancy would be inviting these astrologers to come in. And then she would be advising her husband according to sometimes what these astrologers and psychics would say. So, no, it's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing to take counsel from Jezebel. It's a dangerous thing. No, you don't want the president of the United States taking counsel from Paula White. No. When Paula White gets saved and she repents of her sins publicly for her public so-called ministry, for deceiving people for these many years that she's deceived people and lied to people and lied on God, when she comes forth with an apology and has a true come to Jesus moment, then we can listen to what she has to say. But right now, no, nobody should be listening to her at all or anybody else. If I don't care what preacher it is or how big a church they have or whatever, if they lie about God, especially in the financial area, don't have anything to do with them. Nothing. They have nothing to tell you. The only reason I listen to these people is to find out what they're saying so I can report it to you. Otherwise, I'm not interested in what they're saying. If you ever listen to Paula White, you get a headache. She talks, first of all, she talks in circles. You never really know what she's talking about. She just keeps talking in circles, and she's getting crazier and crazier. There was a video that was posted a week or so ago when she was at this church in or at this conference, I think, this so-called Apostle Maldonado of Miami, Apostle, but he's a false prophet too. Anyway, she's there up on the stage, and she's just going crazy for like 2 hours, screaming at the top of her lungs, screaming and screaming and jumping up and down. And just, it's like, oh, something is wrong. Something is very wrong, but you can't, as they say, you can't make it up. You can't make it up. I don't know if the chat room is open or not. I can't see, for some reason, I can't see the chat room. We were having some technical issues last week, so today I can't see this chat room. So I don't know if anybody's there or not. But if you're there, I can't see you. But anyway, welcome. Believe it. You won't believe it. The latest news, the latest thing that hit the news, because the hits keep coming. Paula White's her own worst enemy. She just she can't rein herself in because she's so giddy with her power and her position at the White House that she can't help herself. She just keeps going from one crazy thing to the next. You would think that after the satanic pregnancy debacle made international news with her saying that she was commanding all satanic pregnancies to miscarry, and she was decreeing and declaring this. You can't decree and declare like that. No. The only person that can decree and declare is Jesus Christ. You, in your own flesh, you cannot decree and declare. You didn't create anything with your mouth. No, there isn't one person that I know of that said, light be, and it happens. There's nobody that I know that does that. The only person I know that does that is God the Father. When he created the heavens and the earth, the Trinity, yes. But human beings don't speak to the sky and say, light be, and all those kind of things. No, the only person that can do that is God. But no, Paula White, she decrees and declares, and she commands. She was stopping rivers and she's the animal kingdom, and I don't know how much more insane can it get. It's like, God, please help us, please help us. But I'm gonna play this clip because the newest thing that has happened to Paula White in recent weeks, I don't know exactly when the event happened, but she says it happened. She says that. Now, wait, sit down, because I don't know if you're all ready for this one. This is a real whopper, this one. This is one of the biggest whoppers that I think I have ever heard from this woman, because she has a big problem stretching the truth. Anyway, Paula says that she was in the throne room of God, that she was taken up, and she was actually in the throne room. Yes, Paula White. And she can't help herself. She has to tell you that she was there. And of course, very humbly, she says that she can't tell you everything that happened there. Eventually she will, though, trust me. Eventually she'll tell you. Yes, eventually she'll tell you, because she wants you to think she's special. She's special. Now, how many of you can say that you have actually traveled to the throne room of God, that God, he took you up out of your body, and all of a sudden you were transported into heaven, and you, of all people, there you go, into the throne room of God. Now, she says that there was a mist in there, and she didn't really see his face, but she saw his face. I don't know how that could happen. If you claim to be a Bible teacher or a prophetess, an apostle, she has so many titles. But no man can see God and live. So I don't know how that happened. I don't know how you managed to get back here, because either the Bible is true or it isn't, or your story is not true. Anyway, let me play the clip for you so you can hear it for yourself here. She was addressing a very large crowd there at Maldonado's Fleecing Center.
I don't even know what Apostle said over me, but I just know suddenly a weight came on me that pushed my body to the floor, but my spirit went up. And it is my body could not hold what my spirit was going through. My spirit went up, and I literally went to the throne room of God. I won't say much, but I'll say something that's important for me to teach you here today. So in that divine encounter, I don't know how long I was there. I just know that kind of power is almost impossible for a natural body to contain. And as I went to the throne room of God, first I saw there was a mist that was coming off the water, and I went to the throne of God. And I didn't see God's face clearly, but I saw the face of God. Wasn't it clear? Not like I could see your face clearly, but I knew it was the face of God. And as God began, he put a mantle on me. And it was a very distinct mantle. I had no idea that Apostle had prophesied. I think you said that there was a mantle that was coming upon me, that there was a new mantle coming upon me. And there was a mantle, and I saw it very distinctly. The color was like a goldish, but it was a yellowish goldish, a little bit different than your scarf, a little bit brighter than your scarf there. And then I saw the earth for a moment. And then he brought me back and he put me in certain places, one being the White House, one being certain continents. It was a mass move. I didn't come out of that really until the next morning. I mean, all night it was still that presence that is lingering here. There's a resident anointing. The presence of God is here for you today.
Yeah. Oh, it's there. Oh, it's unbelievable, isn't it? Let's look at Exodus 33:20. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Oh, I don't know, Paula. That's what the word of God says, Paula. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you say. You were not in the throne room of God. No. No. You were not there. And you did not see God's face. She says, now, if you could believe that statement, I didn't really see the face of God. Of course, I mean, because people would ask her, well, what does he look like? It's like when you ask somebody, they say, I saw Jesus. So you say, well, what does he look like? Oh, well, I can't really tell you. They can't really ever really describe him. So it's the same thing. She has to say that. I didn't really see his face, but I saw the face of God. She saw the face of God. So I guess we better throw that scripture out. Exodus. No, let's throw that scripture away, because Paula said she saw God. Even though the Bible says you can't see God's face and live, Paula White wants to tell you that among her many other fairy tales, she wants to tell you now. And notice how she's practically crying when she's talking about it and acting so humble. But she has to tell you about it. She has to tell you about it because it makes her look more credible. And then, of course, she has to tell you that she has a new mantle that's upon her life. A new mantle. And so what could that be? But, of course, when she's up there in the throne room, God's showing her the White House and he's showing her all these things. Oh dear. I don't know what is going to happen next, because it just gets more and more bizarre with Paula White. It's more and more bizarre. And so what does Isaiah 56:11 says? Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain from this quarter. So, of course, this story now, it in her mind, probably, she thinks it's going to bring her even more infamy and even more invitations. And then she'll get to tell her story to people. And as she did, that was only like about a 2 or 3 minute testimony. But I guarantee you that the testimony will start to expand. And maybe she'll even write a book about it. Maybe she'll even write a book about her visit to the throne room of God. Seriously, it was probably, I don't know. Was it a drug? What happened that all of a sudden you're taken up out of your body, whoosh, up into the heavenlies, and there you are in heaven, and you're, first of all, you're a false prophet, you're a false teacher. How does somebody with those kind of qualifications, number one, even get taken up into heaven, into the throne room of God? That doesn't happen. Nobody is going up to heaven except when you die. That's the only time you're going up there. Otherwise, I don't care who says they went where. It didn't happen. It did not happen. And even if it did happen, you wouldn't tell anybody about it so that it would bring glory to yourself. It's not something that you would tell people about because you don't want to draw attention to yourself, because these things usually draw attention to the people telling it. So let me play that one more time for you so you can hear it again. This is the spiritual advisor to the President of the United States.
I don't even know what Apostle said over me, but I just know suddenly a weight came on me that pushed my body to the floor, but my spirit went up. And it is my body could not hold what my spirit was going through. My spirit went up, and I literally went to the throne room of God. I won't say much, but I'll say something that's important for me to teach you here today. So in that divine encounter, I don't know how long I was there. I just know that kind of power is almost impossible for a natural body to contain. And as I went to the throne room of God, first I saw there was a mist that was coming off the water, and I went to the throne of God. And I didn't see God's face clearly, but I saw the face of God. Wasn't it clear? Not like I could see your face clearly, but I knew it was the face of God. And as God began, he put a mantle on me. And it was a very distinct mantle. I had no idea that Apostle had prophesied. I think you said that there was a mantle that was coming upon me, that there was a new mantle coming upon me. And there was a mantle, and I saw it very distinctly. The color was like a goldish, but it was a yellowish goldish, a little bit different than your scarf, a little bit brighter than your scarf there. And then I saw the earth for a moment, and then he brought me back and he put me in certain places, one being the White House, one being certain continents. It was a mass move. I didn't come out of that really until the next morning. I mean, all night, it was still that presence that is lingering here. There's a resident anointing. The presence of God is here for you today.
I wonder what the staff at the White House would think. Possibly they'll get the news about this testimony. And I just wonder, I would love to be there when they talk about it. Like, what is Donald Trump going to say when he hears this latest thing from his so-called spiritual advisor that she actually went to the throne room? What would the conversation be from Mike Pence and his wife when they find out, or from the Secretary of State or the other people there that are involved in the whole, everything that's going on in the world? And then they have this person, kind of a crazy person, really, running around the White House and claiming that she was actually in the throne room of God and God was telling her things. Now, I wonder what they think. I wonder what the senators think and the congresspeople think. Maybe they catch wind of these things because the story, it made pretty good headlines this week when it came out that she says she went to the throne room. And her story with the satanic pregnancies, that one even made the Drudge Report, which the Drudge Report gets like, I don't know, a billion hits a day or something like that. So you would think that after you got all that publicity, and then you come out with this statement So you have to scratch your head. You wonder, now, what do people think? Like, the wealthy bankers and the corporate executives and the military men and the people, what do they think? This is the Space Force or what? Is it a flying saucer? What is it? Can you imagine, like, all these people working for the government, these intelligent people, these well-educated people? Like, what do they think when Paula comes around? And then they read these newspaper accounts, and it's not like the reporters are making it up. These are things that are coming out of her own mouth. She's not afraid to say it. She's not afraid to go in public and realize that everything she says is being watched by people because she's working for the president. So if I was working for the president, I would be careful about what I would say. I would be very, very careful about what I said and how I said it and who I was saying it to. No, not her. No, not her. She doesn't care if she embarrasses Donald Trump. No, she doesn't care. She doesn't care at all. She claims that she cares about him, but obviously she does not care about him, because why in the world would you come out with some kind of a crazy statement like this, that you, of all people, God Almighty himself, the God of the universe, that he didn't have anything better to do that day except to take you up to heaven and so that he could talk to you, because that's how special you are. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I can't imagine what is wrong with the Trump family. What's wrong with Don Jr.? What's wrong with Melania? What's wrong with Ivanka and Jared and Eric? What's wrong with these people that you can't see? This is the person that's advising your father on spiritual matters and giving him counsel? I don't get it. Don't you read the newspapers? Don't you listen to, don't you look at the headlines? Don't you investigate people before they come and work at the White House to find out if they're people of integrity? I just don't get it. I mean, I don't care how smart you say these people are. They're not very smart if they can't figure this one out. Not very smart. But anyway. And then to add to it, about 2 weeks ago, now apparently she had been in Miami at Maldonado's church, and he's got a big church, I don't know, 7,000 or 8,000 people maybe, there in Miami. He's a false prophet and a pimp preacher. And then they had this big conference. I think it was in Miami. Yeah, because it looked like there was about 10,000 people there at this conference. It wasn't in the church. It looked like it was in a convention center or something. And so who's one of the featured speakers? Well, yeah, Paula. Paula's one of the featured speakers. Because now, because of Donald Trump putting her in this position, it's given her credibility so that she can run around all over the place deceiving people. And so she's there at this conference, and of course they love to have her there because she knows how to raise money for these people. And what does she do when she's there at this conference? She says that even before she got up to speak, that the Lord told her, the Lord, now she's telling you, the Lord Jesus himself told her that there's 1,000 people that were supposed to give $1,000, and then there was 3 people that were supposed to give 50,000, and then there was, I don't know how many people to give 10,000. And she's, I'm going to play the audio. She says that the Lord told her. I don't know what Lord she's talking about, because when I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I never once ever hear Jesus talking like that, ever. I never, ever heard Jesus say that, give me $10. Give me $100. How about $1,000? What do you need? Soul salvation. You need your kids delivered from drugs. You need a cure for cancer. Hand me some money. And make a sacrifice now and honor me with some cash and I'll see what I can do. I never heard Jesus talk like that. So number one, Jesus, when anybody says that to you, when any prophet, so-called Benny Hinn, Mike Murdoch, John Hagee, any of them, if any of them say that the Lord told me, no, then it might be the Lord, their Lord Satan that told them, but not the Lord Jesus Christ, because he doesn't talk like that. Don't support these people. Don't listen to them. Anyway, here it is now. Paula White, after she's humiliated herself time after time, she can't help herself. And she has to go out into public knowing that people are recording these things and they're out there for everybody to see. And she actually tells people, I don't know how many people went up. There was a lot of people that went up. I mean, these poor lost sheep going up there. And she said, if you don't have it, get it. Find a way to get it. And so they do this whole thing beforehand. She's doing this whole dance and everything. She's telling people, they're screaming, freedom, freedom, freedom. They're telling you that you're free and you can have freedom. And then they put you back into bondage. 5 minutes later, they're putting you back into bondage by telling you that you have to give $1,000 in order to get your prayers answered and for God to notice you. What kind of freedom is that? That sounds like manipulation to me. That sounds like, oh, you say one thing. What, 5 minutes beforehand, you're saying one thing, and then 5 minutes later, you're telling people something else. And those poor lost sheep, you can see the people. They're just like, they're mesmerized, and they're going up there, and she's telling them that they can come to the front. If the people that were giving the $1,000 were allowed to come up front and put it on the altar, and then I guess she was going to touch the envelopes or whatever, or touch the people. And so they're going up there, and they're holding their envelopes in the air, and they're, some of them are crying, and oh, it was sad. It was sad. But anyway, here she is.
Grab the person standing next to you. Hold on to the mano del que tiene ahí a su lado. The Lord just set your family free.
De liberar a tu familia.
Set you free.
Acaba de liberarte a ti.
Set marriages free.
Acaba de liberar matrimonios.
Set nations free.
Acaba de liberar naciones.
You're going to stop cursing your crisis.
Deje de maldecir.
You had to go through the process.
Usted tuvo que pasar ese proceso.
For your heart.
Para su corazón.
To be ready to handle.
Que estuviera listo
the
para
level
dejar el nivel.
God's taken you to.
A cual Dios te lleva.
The Lord spoke to me.
El Señor me habló.
Before I got on the stage.
Antes de subir a esta plataforma.
I had no idea what would happen.
No tenía idea lo que iba a pasar hoy.
But I did know this.
Pero sí sabía esto.
That God said, I will break cycles.
Que Dios dijo, voy a romper ciclos.
And ask for a seed.
Pedir una semilla.
Of $1,000.
De $1,000.
He said, no, don't do anything yet. I want you to hear.
Pero no,
the Lord
nada
said there were 1,000 people that are going to sow $1,000.
Me dijo que 1,000 personas que iban a sembrar
at
$1,000.
The minimum.
Como mínimo.
There are 3 people that are going to sow $50,000 because God says your church is coming into a jubilee.
3 personas que van a sembrar 50,000 porque dice Dios tu iglesia está a punto de entrar en un jubileo.
And even as you enter into this holy season,
y aún entrando en esta santa temporada,
Rosh Hashanah, atonement, tabernacles, God says, you will see quick restoration.
Dice Dios, vas a ver restauración
and
rápida,
you'll see jubilee.
Y vas a ver jubileo.
That everything's going to be restored to you. So there are 3 people that will sow 50,000.
Y todos se te van a restaurar.
1,000 will sow 1,000.
3 personas que van a sembrar 50,000.
You say, why is this so important?
Que siembran 1,000. Y usted dice, ¿por qué es tan importante esto?
You see,
usted ve,
every woman knows this.
Toda mujer sabe esto.
If you put a seed in a fertile womb,
si usted pone una semilla en un vientre fértil,
if my husband,
si mi esposo,
and I played Sarah and Abraham right now,
si yo, digamos que él y yo somos Abraham y Sara ahora,
I'd produce an Isaac.
Yo produciera un Isaac.
I'd produce a promise. pueda producir una promesa.
Because every woman knows,
toda mujer sabe,
that her cycle is regular,
que su ciclo es regular.
And the only way you can break a cycle,
de la única manera que usted pudiera romper,
the only way, but one of the major
un ciclo,
ways,
no la única, pero una de las principales,
you gotta put a seed in it.
Es que tiene que colocar alguna semilla.
When the seed goes in,
cuando entra una semilla,
when that woman's on her cycle,
cuando esa mujer está en
at
su
the
ciclo,
right time,
en el momento correcto,
it interrupts the cycle,
eso va a interrumpir su
and
ciclo,
she gets pregnant.
Y ella va a quedar embarazada.
God said,
dice Dios,
I'm interrupting the cycle,
estoy interrumpiendo
with your
el
seed,
ciclo con tu semilla.
And you will go back,
y vas a regresar
pregnant,
embarazado,
to carry out your purpose,
para así llevar a cabo tu propósito.
Telling you,
te lo digo.
So right now,
así que ahora mismo,
I'm going to pray and the Lord's going to speak.
Voy a orar y el Señor va a hablar.
Only, and I mean
solamente,
this serious.
Y se lo digo en serio.
If you're sowing $1,000, and
si
I'm going to take everyone's offering in a moment.
Y voy
only
a tomar
if $1,000, $10,000, or $50,000, because the Lord said, deal with those.
Voy a tomar las ofrendas de todos en un momento. Pero
and
Señor,
bring it and lay it down.
Si usted va a sembrar mil,
if you're sowing any other amount, we're going to collect it. It doesn't mean that $100 is not important, because it is.
Y que
but let me tell you something. You say, well, I don't have it.
Usted dice, no,
you can find it.
Usted puede encontrarlo.
When I was on government cheese and welfare, God told me, sow $1,000 to break the cycle.
Cuando yo recibía beneficios del gobierno, Dios
I realized that the seed doesn't only have the ability to go in your future, it has the ability to go in your past.
$1,000 para romper el ciclo, porque la semilla tiene el poder no solamente de
and
el
I needed
futuro, sino
the cycle from my childhood to be broken.
Y yo necesitaba que aquel ciclo de mi niñez quedara roto.
Spirit of the living God,
Espíritu del Dios vivo.
I do this by divine instruction.
Hago esto por instrucción divina.
And it takes divine instruction.
Y toma instrucción divina.
To receive a divine reward.
Recibir recompensa divina.
So through divine instruction,
así que por instrucción divina,
I obey you.
Yo te obedezco a ti.
With all authority.
Con toda autoridad.
Speak.
Habla.
And don't let someone go home.
Y no dejes que alguien se vaya.
Just shouting freedom.
Que solamente gritando.
Let them go home totally free.
Sino que vaya a casa en verdad
libre.
Cuando el corazón en verdad es libre.
Finances are never an issue.
Las finanzas nunca serán un problema.
So speak right now.
Así que habla ahora mismo.
And let people move quickly.
Y que el pueblo se mueva rápido.
In the name of Jesus.
En el nombre de Jesús.
Okay, make your checks payable to King Jesus.
Haga su cheque.
And here's what I want you to do.
Mire lo que quiero que haga.
If you're giving $1,000,
si va a dar mil dólares,
whether online,
sea en línea,
or you're texting to give by doing it to CAP,
o va a mandar
the number 58782,
la palabra CAP al 5,
or you're bringing an envelope,
8,
I prefer you to bring
8,
an envelope.
2. Prefiero que traiga
and it's $1,000, $10,050, come down to this altar.
$10,000,
quickly come down.
Rápido,
quickly
altar.
Run.
Rápido, rápido, venga.
I bless you. Stand here. Quickly. Stand. Power. Quickly. Let them come quickly. But I don't want them to move. I want this altar filled.
Pero que
quickly,
no se vaya.
All the way from the balcony. Quickly come down.
Yeah, quickly. Quickly. Quickly come down before you change your mind. Oh, oh. What is going on? Yeah, so you think about it. They hope... I don't know. They probably raised $1,000,000. They're a bunch of scammers. Every one of them. Bunch of scam artists. I don't know how they sleep at night. If they had any conscience at all, they wouldn't sleep. After, could you imagine getting up in front of hurting people? People that are hurting. They're hurting. They're going through divorces. Their children are messed up. They're sick. They don't have enough money, whatever. These are hurting people. And you lie to these people. And you tell them that the Lord is telling me that if you give this $1,000, wow, things are going to happen for you. Oh, it's so despicable. I can't even believe it's still going on to me when I see these services and I see so-called Christian television and I see these people doing these things and I think to myself, this is the way Christianity is being represented to the masses. I can hardly believe that it's still happening as much as it's happening, that people still believe it. We have our work cut out for us, let me tell you. But there was a great article that came out last week in Mother Jones magazine. Now, this magazine, Mother Jones. I think it's been around since the 60s. But the reporter did an excellent job reporting on this story. And she says something here, and I love this quote. She was at a Paula White service, and she actually went to a couple of services to observe herself. But she says that, of course, you know, Paula wrote this book called Something Greater, and it was supposed to be her life's testimony and how important, how God delivered her from all these things. And then, of course, how God put her in the White House. And so the reporter is watching her laying hands on people. And then the reporter says, when it was over, White held a book signing for her newest book release, Something Greater, which is all about her relationship with God. But Something Greater, of course, is really all about her relationship with Trump. His name is mentioned 177 times in 288 pages. Jesus merits just 82 mentions. Oh, I thought that was great. I would have never thought of that fact myself. So that's the thing. She claims that Something Greater, God gave her Something Greater, but really it is. She does talk about Trump a lot, which you see, she talks about him 177 times. And Jesus only gets 82 mentions in the book. So obviously the book was meant to promote her relationship with Donald Trump, which she has to mention everywhere she goes. She has to tell people how he was watching television and he saw her on television and he said she had the ick factor. She says the ick factor. I say she has the ick factor. And he had to call her and tell her how great she was. And then they had this friendship, and it's such a long-standing friendship. And I don't know what he was thinking. I personally think he was probably thinking ahead to when he was going to run for president, and he was trying to build his bridges. Why he picked her, I don't know, to befriend. Maybe she thought he thought she was dopey enough to fall for it. And so anyway, he has used her to build bridges with evangelicals, but most of us that are really evangelicals don't understand why anybody would want to build a bridge with this kind of a person, and especially when it's concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. But anyway, it was done, and she's not shy about making headlines with these outlandish stories. And of course, who knows how many reporters are going to these events, because it seems like she's cut back on broadcasting her church services over the internet. But even if you stop broadcasting your church service, reporters are still going to find out where you are and go there to see what's happening. But the title of the story, the article there in Mother Jones, is How Do You Get from the Trailer Park to a White House Job? Give money to Trump's spiritual advisor. Because, yeah, she says that it was her giving that really got her to the positions that she's in. But Paula likes to say that she lived in a trailer. Well, here's the facts. Her mother at that point was well educated, and her stepfather was an admiral in the Navy, and I think he was working at Bethesda Naval Hospital. He had a very top position there. So her family was not poor. She was not living in a trailer because she was poor. She says that she wasn't taking money from her mother and her stepfather at the time. But then she did she did have a husband at the time. So she likes to say she ate government cheese and she was living in a trailer and God took trailer trash and he recycled it and he made something great out of it. Well, all right, you lived in a trailer. So what? There's some trailers that are very nice. There's nothing wrong with living in a trailer. Like there's something horrible because you live in a mobile home. Some mobile homes are very, very nice. So, and she also claims that hers was nice. It was a double wide, and she said she had land with it. And so she wasn't exactly hurting, desperate for money. I doubt seriously that she was ever desperate for money. Ever. But for some reason, she likes to tell this story about, I lived in a trailer. She didn't live there very long. She didn't live in this trailer very long. So she claims that she bought the trailer for $37,000 and she became a real estate mogul. And she sold the trailer for $97,000 and then she started her real estate career. And she was a multimillionaire by the time she was 30. Although she's got other testimonies where she says that she didn't have any money. And then when she married Randy and they didn't have food and they were living in a dumpy old motel. Well, I don't know. Either you're a real estate mogul or you're not a real estate mogul. Either you have money or you don't have money. I'm like, what story is true? If you want to hear these testimonies, by the way, they're on the internet. You can hear her testimonies on YouTube, which is there's a channel by a very wonderful lady named Shirley Johnson. And actually, Shirley Johnson, Paula sued Shirley Johnson a few years ago because she wanted these videos gone from the face of the earth because the videos that Shirley Johnson puts up on her YouTube channel, and the name of the YouTube channel, it's a little tricky, but the name of the YouTube channel is The Remnants JNJ, and that's RemnantsJNJ, The Remnants JNJ. On YouTube. But if you put in Paula White's false testimony or Paula White, another adulterous marriage, her channel will come up. And these videos are videos of Paula preaching and telling people these stories. And you'll see that she's got all kinds of different stories about her life, several different versions. So anyway, it's all there for you to see. And it's Paula talking. It's not Shirley talking. It's Paula talking. So she can't deny, nobody's saying she said something. She is saying it. And anyway, Paula sued Shirley for copyright infringement, which she wasn't infringing on the copyright because you're allowed to use small portions of people's audios and their videos. And excerpts from books and things. It's called fair use. So you can't take somebody's whole book if it's copyrighted and their whole video if it's copyrighted and use it to make money. You can't do that. But of course, Shirley doesn't monetize her channel. But anyway, Paula sued her for copyright infringement for something like $10 million. Now imagine, this is a normal person. She doesn't have $1 million, never mind $10 million. But the God-loving, compassionate Paula sues this woman. And of course, you have to get an attorney. Usually if somebody sues you, you have to get an attorney. Paula doesn't worry about having attorneys because they have insurance at her church. So I guess the attorneys are paid by their insurance policy when they sue people. And she's got four or five high-priced attorneys, and there's Shirley Johnson. Anyway, Shirley decided that she wasn't going to take it, and she wasn't going to be intimidated by Paula. So I think they went back and forth for a while, and I think Paula dropped the lawsuit, but then Shirley countersued her for, I don't know if it was malicious prosecution. It was something like that. Anyway, she countersued her for damages because it was, it's stressful. Look, if somebody comes to your door and tells you you're being sued for $10 million by somebody that has money, and you don't really have money, you don't have a lot of money to fight these things, and they've got money, they can waste money on attorneys. They don't care. They just, most of the time, they do these things to harass you anyway to see if they can shut you up. I don't know why Paula wanted to shut her up. It was Paula saying these things. Like, why did she say it? She shouldn't have said it in the first place. She shouldn't make up several different versions of her life story if she doesn't want somebody to put it out there. She's the one that put it out on the internet. She's the one that televised her services. So why was she trying to shut Shirley up? She's trying to shut herself up, muzzle herself. But anyway, just to be nasty, she sues this woman. And anyway, Shirley took her on. And Shirley won the case. Yeah, Shirley won. And the thing is, she was her own attorney. She didn't even get an attorney. She didn't know anything about being an attorney. She was acted as her own attorney. And you can read, there's was newspaper stories out about it after the fact that Shirley won the case and Paula had to pay her. She didn't ask for a big amount of money, which she should have, but she only got like $13,000, which didn't even really cover her legal fees, because she, acting as her own attorney and going to the law library, and here's Paula's got four or five high-priced attorneys, and they couldn't defeat Shirley. No, because God was on Shirley's side. He wasn't on Paula's side. She did the wrong thing by threatening these people, slapping lawsuits on people, which it's against the law in Florida to do that. You can't just slap a lawsuit on somebody just because you're trying to harass them or try to shut them up. But in some states, they have these things called slap suits. People slap lawsuits on you for no reason, just to harass you. And so they usually wind up dropping the case, but in the meantime, you have to go to court, you might have to get an attorney. It's a hassle. It's a hassle. But anyway, Shirley won the case, acting as her own attorney, and Paula had to pay her. So, but that's how it is with these people. They don't want you telling people what they say, even though they put it out there for all the world to see. They put it out on the internet. They televise their services live. But they don't want you telling people what they said. Now, figure that one out. Then don't say it. That's the thing. Don't say it. If you don't want to be embarrassed, like when you come out with these crazy statements about going to the throne room of God, and you come out with crazy statements about satanic pregnancies, and then you come out with crazy statements about God told you that 1,000 people have to give $1,000. Don't make these statements then if you don't want a reporter to report on it. And then you're going to say that these people are haters. They like to say, these people are haters and slanderers, and they've got the spirit of Leviathan and all these things. No, that is not the case. I think you need to examine yourself. Paula, if you're listening, and I know you listen sometimes, so if you're listening, you need to examine your own self. Then you wouldn't have to be concerned about people reporting stories, because they're only reporting what you said and what you did. So if you don't want people to report so-called negative, and it's not negative because you're saying it, but if you don't want negative press, then do the right thing and you won't get negative press, because God said if you do the right thing, he'll even make your enemies to be at peace with you. So do the right thing. Then you don't have to worry about it. But here's another thing that happened just a few weeks ago. Now, it wasn't enough all this stuff. But Paula told people at the same place there at Maldonado's church, after she warned people there, that don't let anybody talk against your pastor, that's God's anointed. Don't let them say anything about him. Well, that's a cult. Look, if you can't say that your pastor made a mistake, if you can't say it, then that's a cult. That's a cult. Because everybody makes mistakes. Everybody does. Your pastor's not God. And anyway, if they like to say, don't touch the Lord's anointed. I have news for you. We're all the Lord's anointed. He doesn't have any special anointed ones running around. Oh, that's a special Lord's anointed. Don't say anything about that one. If, no matter what he says or what he does, how many women he sleeps with, how much money he robs, don't ever say anything against him. Well, that's not true. That's not true. Don't touch the Lord's anointed, which means don't punch him. Don't touch. That's what touch means. It doesn't mean say, but that's how stupid they are. Don't touch the Lord's anointed. Anyway, here you go. Here's Paula now telling people not to pay their bills. Don't pay your light bill first. No, no, no. Don't pay your mortgage. No. Pay your tithes.
So let's just say I get paid $1,000 and I pay my mortgage first. Or I pay, what's the electric company here? FPO. I pay FBO first instead of bringing the first tenth to the house of God every week, which clearly is instructed throughout the Word of God. Then what I'm saying is, FBO, I just made you chief. I just made you fundamental. I just made you the basis to support all structure. So FBO, heal my child. FBO, find my children that are lost. FBO, open the door for me to get promotion. FBO, I serve you. FBO, I honor you to redeem off of me the curse that is upon all mankind. Because you have just made FBO the first, because you gave the first $100 to pay your electric bill. You see, there's a divine accurate order. People pay tithe, but they pay it in leftover.
Yeah. There's a divine accurate order. No, there's no divine act. You don't have to pay tithes. Oh. She's saying, don't, you know, if you pay the electric company first, then I can't bless you, because what are you, you're going to ask the electric company to heal your family? I didn't know that I had to first go pay tithes, pay tithes first, and then I could ask God to do things for me. I didn't know. I don't, where do you get that in scripture? She says it's throughout the Bible. Well, if it was throughout the Bible, then how come Jesus didn't say it? I never heard Jesus say anything about you better pay your tithes. And if he was going to say you had to pay your tithes, then he would have been collecting them, but he wasn't. So you say, well, then how come he said to the Pharisees that they give rue and mint, but they neglect the weightier matters of the law, yeah, which was love your neighbor as yourself. Well, he would see, what did he say? He didn't say it was money. He said it was food, which it was. Tithes, when they brought tithes, it was always food. So, Paula, you're a biblical illiterate, a biblical illiterate person. You don't know the Bible. You claim that you study the Bible, but you don't know the Bible, because if you actually read it, you would know what it says. You would know what it says. I know people get, that's one of their pet things, is the tithing thing. Well, look, if you could prove to me that tithing was ever money, if you can find one scripture about tithing being money, then I will repent. I will repent. But it's not there. It's not there. I defended tithing teachings when I was in the Word of Faith movement, and I was in the Word of Faith movement for 15 years. So some of my favorite preachers were Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin, and these people, they were all tithing preachers. So, but I never actually studied it for myself. I studied a few scriptures here and there, but I never did an extensive study. So I decided sometime in the late 1990s, 95, 96, something like that, I decided that I was going to spend a few months, which it took me about 3 months, really. But I looked up every scripture about money, about seed sowing, which seed is not money because there's no life in money. So you can't put money in the ground and get anything. Seed has life. Money has no life. But anyway, I looked up everything on tithing, on offerings, anything that had to do with money, I looked it up. I could not find one instance where they ever tithed money in the Old Testament. I found free will offerings where they brought jewelry and things to the temple where they brought free will offerings, but I never found tithing was money. So I found out the truth because I studied it. So the Bible says to study to show yourself approved. So you have to study the Word of God so you find out what the Word of God says. So then you can't be conned by the likes of people like Paula White. You won't be conned. You'll be able to hold on to your bank account. You know, because they want to clean out your bank account. They want to clean it out. Yeah. So they can buy bigger houses, bigger cars. You know, I mean, this lady, she's got a Lamborghini. Well, how do I know she's got a Lamborghini? Because it was in the court documents from her case with Shirley, which anybody could look up these court documents. They're out there if you wanted to look up the cases and see the some of the things that were going back and forth, because they're in the public domain. A Lamborghini, it's like a $200,000 car. Yeah. So it's a very lucrative profession, this seed sowing thing and this tithing thing. Jeremiah 3:15 says, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." And that's what we need today. We need pastors according to God's heart, who feed people the Word of God, and whether they get an offering or not. I believe that pastors should get a salary and be supported by the church. I believe that. If he's working and he's doing his job, certainly he should earn a salary, because a workman is worthy of his hire. So we know as Christians we're supposed to be givers. You can't be saved and not be a giver. You just can't be a saved person and not want to help people. It's just in our heart to do right by people, not to do wrong by people like these people do. So that's the kind of pastors we need, that teach people the right way, go teach the Bible line upon line, and teach people how to get through this life, because we have to get through this life, amen, one way or another. We have to get through this life. And we need God's help to do it, because we're all going through things. We've all got trials that we're going through and tribulations that happen. And we cry out to God for help. We say, "Oh God, help us, please help us." And we don't need preachers extorting us and taking advantage of us. It's so cruel. Doesn't it just break your heart when you hear these stories about these elderly people being scammed by scam artists, and they take their life savings, and oh, it just breaks your heart. And it's even worse when it's a preacher. or a so-called preacher, or it's a pastor, or an evangelist, and they're claiming to know Jesus, and yet they've got their hand in your pocket, and they'll take everything you've got. They're heartless. They're heartless. So anyway, we hope that we can put an end to it. Well, I don't know if we'll ever put an end to it, but anyway, at least we can make a dent in the devil's kingdom, amen, and help people to go the right way. I was going to talk a little bit today also about Jamal Bryant, but I don't have time, but he took over this church for Eddie Long when Eddie Long died, and now he's pestering over there. And pestering, I don't like to say pastoring about some of these people. I like to say pestering because they don't tell the people the truth. And anyway, I won't do that today. I wanted to talk in the next few programs, maybe I wanted to talk about this thing that was going on with John Gray and Ron Carpenter. There, wow, that's a mess. But imagine this guy, Ron Carpenter, who started this church, Redemption Church, he called it. I think it's in South Carolina. But anyway, he wanted them, when he gave the church over to John Gray, it's now Relentless Church, he wanted them to put aside a fund for his retirement. Ron Carpenter did. A $6 million fund for his retirement. Oh, yeah, I'd love to retire with $6 million. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine? They have so much money. They don't know what to do with themselves with all this money they're collecting. And usually the more money you have, the more money you waste, too. And they do. They waste it. $6 million. But anyway, we'll be talking about that. And don't forget, if you wanted to email me susan@propheticnews.com. And I will get your email. It's susan@propheticnews.com. If you wanted to email me. And I do read my emails, the good, the bad, and the ugly, amen. But anyway, the most important thing today is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? No matter what you've done in your life, no matter what, God can forgive you if you will repent and have a heartfelt repentance and ask God to forgive you. He says he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And he is. And he said that he would, though your sins be as scarlet, they would be white as snow. He gives you a brand new life. I know it happened to me and it's real. And Jesus said you must be born again. And it is real to be born again. You go from your old life, your old stupid life, and you get a new life. You get a brand new life. And you don't have to look for God anymore. Your search is over. You know that you found the truth, and the truth makes you free. So repent of your sins today and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, because he can save you, heal you, deliver you, whatever you're addicted to, he can deliver you. Jesus can, not a human being, but Jesus can. So give your life to Jesus today. You'll never regret it. God bless you, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, okay? All our listeners around the world, big shout out to everybody in Great Britain and France and Germany, Singapore, Australia, Canada. Hi, everybody. God bless you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city. set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there.